Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, what a blessing it is to have an opportunity to be back in church this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And on Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. And my goodness, we've been doing this for over a year now and looking at Bible characters in the New Testament and then going to the Old Testament, back to the New Testament. There's so many, and there are so many that have powerful messages for us. And it's a blessing to know that every word that God has preserved in this Bible has meaning to it. Every word. And so if every word has meaning to it, then every Bible character that God has recorded in the Scriptures has meaning to it as well. And so tonight we're going to be looking here at John chapter 14. We're going to start reading in verse 16, read down to verse 26. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together tonight. John chapter 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again tonight, it's a blessing to be in this place once again and to sense your presence here. And Lord, we're needy people. And we need all that you have for us. And so as we have returned to this service tonight, we return with an expectation to hear from you. And I just pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. What a powerful passage of scripture we have in John chapter 14. But I want to call your attention to verse 22. When Jesus is presenting this most powerful message, we find that there's one of the apostles that speaks up. And this would be Judas. Saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? The little known Bible character that I want to present to you tonight is one of the apostles. One of the apostles that would eventually surrender their lives for the cause of Christ. That would accomplish great and mighty things. But very little is actually recorded about this apostle named Judas. Now, if anyone would have a legitimate reason to change their name, it would be Judas, the brother of James. That's how he's presented in Luke in chapter 6 and verse 16, and again there in the book of Acts. But in John chapter 14 and verse 22, we find that outside of the listing of the names of the apostles, this is the only thing recorded that Judas, the brother of James, says. And so I can relate thinking a little known Bible character. But what a powerful message that God would have for us in studying what God reveals to us about this Bible character named Judas. You see, the Bible makes it clear that this Judas was not Judas Iscariot. But God chose for one of his apostles two Judases. Now, I believe that everything that God has done is done for a purpose, and especially everything that is recorded in the Scriptures. Although both have the same name, and although both would have the same opportunities, they would be opposites in what they accomplished with their lives. They would both be called by Jesus Christ to be apostles. They would both have the same friends. They would look at the inner circle of Christians during this time when Jesus walked on this planet Earth. These 12 apostles would travel with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years. For 3 years, they would sit underneath the teaching and the preaching of God Himself. Now, stop and think about this. What an opportunity. Praise the Lord when I have opportunities to hear some of my favorite preachers. Probably my favorite preacher that's alive today that I enjoy listening to is Brother Sam Davison. And one of the reasons I travel to graduation week, Brother Sam is the president of the Heartland Baptist Bible College, and he always starts the conference out with him preaching. And I just enjoy Brother Sam. Now, he might preach for an hour and a half, and some people might get a little bit weary with that, but I enjoy listening to Brother Sam preach, and I believe he's one of the premier servants of God alive today. And God has used him in a mighty way in what he's accomplished with his life, and I just enjoy hearing him preach. There's other men around the country that I enjoy hearing preach. When I go to the conferences, I want to hear these guys. I want to be able to glean from whatever God is doing in their lives and whatever God has placed upon their hearts. I know that they're just servants of the Lord. And these men are humble men that don't want human applause. They just want to be used by the Lord. And these are men that I want to be around. These are men that I have learned from and been helped by. And praise the Lord for it. You might have certain ones that you enjoy listening to. I trust that that's one of the reasons that you're a part of this Lighthouse Baptist Church, because you come here and you enjoy hearing the Word of God being preached. And God uses this church and uses the services here and uses this pastor here to be able to feed you the very words of God. That's what a pastor's main responsibilities are. There's many other things that take my time that I have to devote certain times to, but there's nothing that I do that's any more important than preaching of the Word of God. And so I want to make sure when I stand before you that I do not have my message, but I have God's message for those that would be in attendance on whatever service that would be. It's up to God to direct you to be in church. I'm sure glad that's not on my shoulders. I don't have to call everyone every week and encourage them and beg them to come to services to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I don't have to do that. That's left up to God. I am God's servant. This is God's church. I just want to have to make sure that I am all that God would have me to be. And when I stand before the congregation, when we are looking to assemble ourselves together to receive that message that God has for us, that I have prepared, and I know that I have the message that God wants me to present. Now, sometimes I might not present it as well as other times. Praise the Lord, that's the humanity side of it, amen? And I might mess up on some names, and I might mess up on my English, amen, and might not say the exact words right, whatever it might be. And I know that's the human side of things, but I trust that even when I do that, you can look beyond that and not really focus on what I said, but focus on what I meant to say. Amen. And sometimes you just have to do that. And you know me long, especially those that have been in this church, been here for 31 years. And, you know, it's just, the way that I preach, you know, how God would work through me. But I trust that more than anything else, you don't come to hear me, but you come to hear from the Lord. And you have enough confidence that I am going to spend time with the Lord, and I'm going to research the scriptures, and I'm going to present to you the message that God would have you to receive. Amen. And so praise the Lord for that, because that's exactly how we want to be used of the Lord. So here we find that they were both under the teaching and the preaching of God's only begotten Son. How Judas Iscariot could be blinded for 3 years. How Judas Iscariot could not listen and understand the messages of God, it goes beyond my understanding. For 3 years, under the most powerful preacher to ever walk on planet Earth, Jesus Christ. Wow. So we find that both of these men had the same opportunity, same friends, same environment, under the same teacher. Preacher for 3 full years, and they were opposites. Judas Iscariot quit on Jesus Christ, turned traitor, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Goes right along with the message I preached on this morning. Has such a loss when he could have had such a gain. And yet we find that Judas, the brother of James, wanted to receive what Christ had for him. And because he focused more on Jesus Christ and focused on his messages and on his will for his life, he received gain. And when he went on to glory, can I tell you how glorious that would have been in standing in front of Jesus face to face and being able to receive some of the rewards and understanding the rewards that he would have placed in heaven for himself. But they were opposites. John chapter 14 is recorded from the upper room the night before the crucifixion. John chapter 14 is one of the most powerful chapters in all the Bible. Jesus presents the comfort that he gives. He tells them, you believe in God, believe also in me. He's going to go away, but he promises to come again. Amen. And so he gives us all of that in the beginning, and then he reveals to them, he's preaching his heart out, and they're listening to him preaching his heart out, and he tells them, although I'm going to be gone, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. With what we started reading here tonight in the passage of Scripture that we read, this is what both the Judases are listening to, and Judas, the brother of James, is hearing what he says, and he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. This is what a powerful message that Jesus is presenting to the apostles before he would go to the cross of Calvary. Judas Iscariot was not receiving it. But Judas, the brother of John, James, was listening. He had faith to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so he was listening with this faith and knowing that I might not understand it, but I still believe you to be the Christ. I might not understand all that you're saying right now. And he would not, none of them would have fully understood this. They would understand it after the resurrection of Christ, once he would return and he would reveal himself to them as a resurrected Savior. And he would meet with them for 40 days and he would instruct them on the New Testament church. And they, no doubt at that point, they understood and they would live and they would give their lives. They would all suffer martyr's death for the cause of Christ. But here we find that Judas Iscariot was not listening. He'd never had faith. But Judas, the brother of James, was listening with faith to believe. Not only was he listening with faith to believe, he had a desire to understand. For he had been serving Christ for 3 years. Judas never did serve Christ. He went through the motions. He never did really listen to the preaching. He just attended the services. These two, the contrast, I believe that they both had the same name, and we find this is what God records about Judas, the brother of James, because he wants us to see the difference here. And there could be that very same difference in people sitting in churches like this all around the country. It's a difference of just showing up. It's a difference of just playing church. It's a difference of coming and just being a part of something different than the world, but yet not plugging into, this is the work of God. And the preaching of the Word of God is that which God uses to feed my soul. And every time I come with an expectation of God speaking to me as I have need to be spoken to. Every time I come through the doors of the Church of Jesus Christ, I want to make sure that I sing out because I worship Him and I praise Him in song. I want to listen to others that have prepared and prayed about the message that they would present in song. And I want not only to be ministered to by the preaching of the word, but I want to be ministered to by whatever takes place in a worship service. Amen. I have plenty of time afterwards to think about what I'm going to cook for dinner tonight. I have plenty of time afterwards to make phone calls to my other friends. I have plenty of time to write letters and notes, and I have plenty of time to do this, and I have plenty of time to do that, but the time is so short when we come together to be able to receive instructions and the understanding of the words of God from the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word. The Sunday school campaign, can I tell you, I'm all for it because I'm all for people coming to 10 o'clock and spending another hour in church where they can hear the Word of God being taught. I'm all for having Sunday school classes where we can reach out and teachers can teach an age group that they have prayed about and prayed for and prepared for and know exactly what they can understand, whether it be a 2-year-old or a 102-year-old. You have prepared messages for whatever that age group so that you might be able to reach them where they're at and to help them with the words of God. With the words of God. Do we have faith to believe it's the words of God? It's not just a religious activity. It's just not a religious gathering. It's just not an entertainment time. It's an opportunity to hear from a living God. Change your way of worship. Change your mindset when you come together. There was two different mindsets here. There was Judas Iscariot who would walk out of this and still go through with betraying Jesus Christ. And there was Judas, the brother of James, who was listening. Judas did not quit on Christ. The reason, number one, was he was genuinely saved. We know this from knowing what we would follow, what would follow in the scriptures. We know this because the Bible has given us the end of the story. We know this because we would find fruit in the life of this Judas. We know Judas Iscariot was not saved because we know what happened to him. No way could the other 11 apostles know that Judas was lost. Jesus would reveal to them there's one that would betray him. And they all asked themselves, is it me? Lord, could it be me? What a humility and what a fear, saying, I don't want it to be me. Lord, I will never betray you. Peter says, I'll die for you. Likewise, the other apostles. But there was one that would not. They would not know just by looking, because he looked like the rest. He learned the language. Amen. Whatever that is, but he learned it. Possibly learned how to pray and say the right things in his prayer, but it was just all for show. Judas Iscariot, after betraying Christ, would commit suicide. Once you realize that this was the Messiah and you had the opportunity to learn and you squandered such opportunity for 3 years, once you understood that you actually betrayed the only begotten Son of God, the true Savior of the world, and you realize that you had a part in him going to the cross of Calvary at that point, I mean, realizing it was his betrayal, and he betrayed him with a kiss. It was more than he could handle. Once he understood that there was something different, that he truly was the Christ, he repented of what he did. He never repented and asked for forgiveness. And instead of asking forgiveness, he hung himself. He took his own life. That was Judas Iscariot. But this Judas would be scattered with the rest and serve till his death. What a contrast. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The difference, first of all, was now that we know, because we've seen, we understand what happened to both of their lives. We can make the statement today. There we could not have. But now as we understand, we have it recorded on what happened to one and what happened to the other. The one committed suicide, the other continued to serve the Lord, and he actually gave his life for the cause of Christ and died a martyr's death. Yes, he was saved. We know that now because of the fruit of his life. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. Okay, now wait a minute. They claimed to be Christians when they were with them, but then they turned away from the teachings of Christ. They went out from us. But they were not of us, even though at one time they claimed to be. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Eventually, it does reveal itself. Eventually, that wolf in sheep's clothing will reveal himself to be a wolf. Amen. But ye have an unction from the Holy One. and you know all things. Those that are truly saved, you have an unction. Jesus Christ, the same thing that we find that Judas was listening to, the same thing that Jesus was teaching him. You're going to have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. You're going to have another comforter. And when you get to that place, when I depart, I'm going to send him, and he shall be in you and dwell in you, and he shall teach you all things whatsoever I have said unto you. That's what you say. This is what we find back in John, in First John chapter 2. He says, but ye have an unction. If you're saved, you have this from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. One of the ways to know that you're saved is to have an unction. When you come to church, there's something inside of you that's pricking your heart. First of all, there's something that leads you to church. There's something inside of you. You have an unction from God. You have an indwelling Holy Spirit that is trying to help you to understand what is right and what you need to do and where to go to find the help that God has for you. There's something inside of me. If you're truly saved and you're not in church, there's something inside of you that's telling you you should have went to church today. And when you come to church, there's something inside of you that says, listen to the message. There's something inside of you that says, sing out. Praise his name. There's an unction inside of everyone that's saved. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's there. Jesus was helping the disciples, the apostles, to know this. That's exactly the message he was preaching that Judas was sitting there and he was listening to. We know he was listening. How do you know he was listening? Because he asked questions. First of all, the difference between Judas, the two Judases here, one was lost, one was saved. Make a difference in how you attend church. Make a difference how you listen when the word of God is being proclaimed. I don't know what Judas Iscariot was doing when Jesus was addressing them. Was he looking at him, but no lights were on? Sometimes you have people look at you, but you can tell they're not listening. Amen. Was he sleeping? Was he counting the money that was in the bag? Was he trying to distract Peter and writing him a note saying, Peter, hey, think about that? No. Peter says, what are you doing? I'm listening. Amen. Teenagers, let me tell you something. When somebody tries to slip you a note during preaching, what are you doing? I'm listening. That's a good response right there. Your parents would be proud of you. Amen. Yeah. We can talk later. What's important right now is not what we're having for lunch. What's important right now is what God has for us. I don't know what Judas Iscariot was doing, but he wasn't listening. But the Bible makes sure that we know that Judas, the brother of James, was listening because of the question he asked. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. Who knows what Iscariot was doing? Lord. And he was his Lord. That was the first difference. He was saved. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us? And not into the world. If he would not have been listening, he would have not been able to ask that question. Amen. Because that's what Jesus had just told them. He didn't understand it, but he was listening. And because he was saved and had a desire to apply the message, he said, I'm not going to let it just go over my head. I want to understand that which I am listening to. Amen. I love that. Can I tell you that there are no stupid questions? They're not. Ask. I would love, and I do, I love for people to ask me questions about what was preached. If you don't understand it, all you have to do is ask. Write it down. I don't understand quite what this meant right here, and so I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to ask somebody that can help me. Teenagers, maybe you can ask your parents to start with. Parents, maybe you can ask your spouse, whatever it might be, or you can ask your Sunday school teacher, or you can ask a deacon, or you can call the preacher. If nothing else, you can't find the answer. Listen to me. My door and my phone is open to anyone and everyone who has a desire to have a better understanding of the words of God. I've committed my life to helping people to have a better understanding of this Bible right here. Amen. He desired to understand, and he asked questions, which reveals that he was listening. Yeah. He was listening because he had already served for 3 years. And what he was hearing now was a little disturbing, that Christ was getting ready to die, and he would be soon taken away. But yet there was a purpose. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Not only are you going to have a relationship with a Christ on the outside, but now he's going to come and dwell within you. And your body will be the temple of God, and he will dwell within you, never leaving you nor forsaking you. Always there with you. No matter where you go, he goes. Amen. And he said, I want to understand that, because I'm already surrendered. I've already determined I was going to serve you with my life. And so if I'm going to serve you with my life, I want to understand it. So he desired Christ to be manifested in him. It's been said that God illuminates the eyes of the faithful, but not the eyes of the faithless. Means you have to have a desire for it. The difference between Judas, one of the main differences here, salvation, but the other is a desire to serve the Lord. He had determined to be faithful. If you're going to be faithful in your Christian service to God, you're going to have to fight off doubt. One of the greatest tools that Satan has to work against us is doubt. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm almost done. I've just got one more thought here after this, but 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, very familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to maybe point something out here that you might not have seen. Got to fight off doubt. Will doubt come? You better believe it. How many have prayed this prayer? Lord, if I didn't get saved then, save me now. Seriously, hands, look around. Yeah. I don't think there's any true Christian that's been saved for a very long period of time that has not questioned whether or not I truly was saved. I truly meant what I said. And God, you know my heart. And if I wasn't saved when I was a child, if I wasn't saved when I was a teenager, save me now because I love you and I want to be saved. Can I tell you, God wants you to be saved. But you got to know that you're saved. There's evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. There are. One of the things is your desire. One of the things about how God is working the unction from within. There's your desire to be in church. Listen to me. If you're not saved, you're not going to have the desire. You're not going to desire the things of God. So the devil wants to, first of all, blind us to salvation. Because if you doubt your salvation, how can you tell somebody else how to be saved if you don't know you're saved yourself? It'd be very difficult. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, and he is the one that's against us, the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Your faith to know what you know. Your faith to, first of all, know that you've done what God says a person must do to be saved. You're not saved based on feelings. You're not saved based on works. You're saved based on a gift. That all you have to do is believe and receive. But Satan's going to try to blind you to that. So we have to fight off doubt. Whom resist steadfastly. That means fight it off in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Fight off doubt. Fight off doubt. How do you fight off doubt? What's the best? Be around truth. Amen. You fight off doubt by increasing your faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Look it up for yourself. Don't take another person's word for it. It's too important of a matter whether you're saved or not. Don't take a preacher's word for it. Don't take a denomination's word for it. You say in every corner of the church that says something different as far as what you have to do to be saved. They might, and they are different on every corner. But the Bible remains the same. The words of Jesus Christ have not changed. What he taught them 2,000 years ago is the very same thing that we need to do today. Read it for yourself. God has preserved it for you that you might base your belief on the Word of God, what the Bible says. Fight off doubt. The more you're in church, the better chance you are to get rid of doubt. And then fight off fear. Two of the greatest weapons that Satan uses, doubt and fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writing to Timothy. Understanding that Timothy would serve the Lord with his life and he would have to fight off fear as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, which would be what he taught them in John chapter 14. Death, burial, and his resurrection. Judas, brother James, quite the opposite of Judas Iscariot, even though they have the same opportunities. One turned away from Christ, ended up committing suicide. The other stayed focused on the teachings of Christ and accomplished great things for him. I trust tonight we would learn from Judas, the brother of James, and look to accomplish great things with the opportunities that God has given to us. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. What a powerful message from a somewhat little known Bible character. He's only recorded in one verse of the Bible. What a powerful message in that one verse. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for your love. We thank you for opportunities that you make available to each one of us to draw closer to you, to have our faith increased, to be able to overcome doubt and fear, and to accomplish things that you would have us to accomplish. I pray tonight, God, for all that have heard this message. God, I don't know exactly how you would use it in pricking their hearts and directing their minds, but I pray that you would do so right now. As you speak to each one, as they have need to be spoken to, I pray that each one would be willing to make whatever decisions that you would have them to make. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.